Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Front Runner Podcast. I am your host, Isaiah Marshall. And today we have a front runner joining us, my brother, Jacob Phillips. This is part two of a two-part discussion that I had with my friend, Jacob Phillips. In this episode, we talk about faith, specifically how our faith in Jesus influences everything that we do. We talk about family and parenthood, and we talk about his journey of becoming a voiceover actor. Here is Front Runner, episode 11. Praise the Lord. My name is Isaiah Marshall, and you are listening to Front Runner, my podcast, where I will be interviewing friends who are front runners, the underdogs who dare to take risks, who bet on themselves, who run their own race, who run to win. They lead their lives from the front, and as they say in track and field, they leave it all on the track. Let's go. So it sounds like the support from your wife, and even that interaction with your coworker, kind of helped you just kind of take that leap and take that leap of faith and kind of transitioning into this next phase. Now, was it easy? What are some challenges and obstacles you faced in transitioning into a full-time voice actor?
Well, challenges would just be, and it's with anything. I mean, if you're working for yourself, you have to do a lot of tasks. Mm-hmm. So a lot of your time is going to be spent on things that aren't what you necessarily like doing. You know, I like to narrate. I really enjoy that. But only a little bit of time is actually spent narrating. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is editing. Do I know how to do that? A lot of it is, uploading, downloading, reviewing scripts, sort of breaking them down. Okay, where are they trying to get across here? What kind of music track is with this thing? Let me hear that. You know, that you're trying to do all these things, and then you're trying to keep business coming in. Like, here's my demo reels. You're cold emailing or calling or following up with people, and there's always something to do.
Yes, sir.
If you work at a 9-to-5, you may get to the point, depending on your level of responsibility, where it's like, okay, I'm done. I don't have to really think about it until I go back.
Yeah.
If I don't want to. Whereas work for yourself, it's kind of like you'll be laying in bed. Oh, I forgot to email that guy. Mm-hmm. I do that a lot, you know. So a big challenge is just trying to stay organized and trying to use good time management, but also don't get so focused on that I'm not taking time to play catch out in the yard with the boys and have a tea party with the girls, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
I have to look to the Lord, like, Lord, help me to have a good balance. Cause I can't do anything good by myself. You're going to have to help me out, give me wisdom. And I'm so appreciative of where the Lord has me, how he's blessed me.
Yes, sir.
And so I definitely want to keep asking him for how to, you know, I like the gig he had going for me. Like, Lord, how do I stay here? Because
yes,
I'd like to, I like it. I like where you have me.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if you ever want to, I think part of that is saying, Lord, if you ever want me back in a factory, or you want me working, picking up trash on the side of the road for the sanitation department, you just let me know and I'll sure do it. You know, I think being willing to be wherever he's at.
Wow.
Wherever he is, that's where I want to be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And right now he's in my studio with the family, you know, making my own schedule, and I love where he has me. But if he wants to move us along, that's fine, as long as he goes with me.
And Paul says that his will is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. And it's like, man, we want to be, as you mentioned, wherever he is, that's where I want to be. That's a good word, man. That's excellent. Now, I imagine, you know, someone listening may be sort of in this position where they feel like, you know, I need to make a shift. I need to take a risk. I need to take that leap. And, you know, there's some anxiety, there's some, you know, maybe some fear. And so what are some lessons you've learned, you know, overcoming those obstacles and those different things? What are some lessons you've learned that can be helpful for us?
Well, part of it, and this is not, I don't want to be misunderstood and sound arrogant by saying this. I want it to be that I asked the Lord for wisdom and he gave it the whole time.
Yes, sir.
So I'll preface what I'm about to say now. I don't have any regrets. Everything that I've done, I would tell someone else, do it the way I did it. Mm. And I feel like that's because the Lord led me and guided me. I didn't figure it out. And what that would practically look like is, you know, I would say, don't get into voiceover because it seems like easy money. Oh, I want some fast cash. How hard could it possibly be? I don't think that's a good why. I don't think that's a good enough reason.
Yeah,
that can come, but I think you need something more. I think in my case, you know, I started so I could communicate with my soldiers and bring them all home safely. I think that's a pretty good reason for wanting to enunciate. That's pretty noble, I would say.
Yes,
and, but I wasn't even thinking about voiceover. Well, then later I wanted to, you know, get the word of God in the ears of my little girl and whoever else on the internet happens by. That's another reason. So two of my main whys have nothing to do with money. So I think if you're going to get into it, even if you're like, I would love to do that for a living, and that's fine. I think it's good to be honest because I love doing it for a living too. But that I think money shouldn't be your main motivation.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be because you love the arts, you know, you love, you know, being creative, you know, providing the thought of providing for your family in a creative way sounds exciting. Working for yourself as a creative is rewarding, those kind of things, you know what I mean? But for a quick buck, that's generally not how it works. Some people can, but that's generally not how it works. I would say, if you know, today you say, okay, I heard Isaiah's podcast and I really want to get into voice acting. Great. Most people have a smartphone of some kind or another with a voice recorder on it.
Yes, sir.
Use that every day. Just practice, like record yourself reading anything, road sign, book, you know, pause a movie that has some text on it, whatever, just anything at all, and record yourself and listen to it back and see what you sound like. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get immediate feedback like, oh, I was so flat. I sounded bored. Yeah, you probably did. All right, we'll try it again. You know, and then, all right, be more dynamic. Let's say a little more cheerful, that kind of thing. So just start practicing. And then while you're practicing, I would get a little, decent mic, you know, $100, something like that. It could be a USB, Blue Yeti, something like that. Mm-hmm. That would be fine for starting out. Get a decent mic, download Audacity, you know, which is a free download off the internet. You can use GarageBand or if you have something else, totally fine. But I'm a cheapskate, so I try to, like, what can I get for free or cheap? And Blue Yeti and Audacity is some great, that's a great mic. And great like software. Mm-hmm. And then a quiet place to record, which your clothes closet probably is going to work just fine. And then you know, a computer or some kind of tablet or something, which most people have. Wow. And you know, it's really simple. And then just start practicing, start recording books. Just record practice scripts. I'm happy. I've got practice scripts. I'll send you, you know, if you want to point people my way, I'll send you some practice scripts. And just practice. And then when you put in some practice, I would get probably a professional's opinion on where you're at. If you can get some coaching, great. If, you know, definitely needs to be a lot of practice reps, whether it's supervised or not. And then, you know, get a demo together and send it out and put it on some freelance sites. That's usually what I tell people. And that's generally have people have really good success doing it that way.
You know, having that strong enough why, I think I heard a quote. I can't remember who said it, but they said something like, if you have a strong enough why, you'll overcome any how. So it's like the obstacles, that why has to be strong enough to be able to endure and persevere through the journey. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times we are so fixated on a destination, man, but we forget
you know, the lessons we can learn and what God is doing through the journey to get us there. And so just kind of, we got our eyes so much on the, on, you know, where we want to be, but man, I think that, that why is vital. It's very important because man, it's going to help us. It's going to sustain us through it. It's going to help us persevere and overcome, you know, those challenges and obstacles. And we won't just give up, but we'll just kind of endure through it for sure. I appreciate that. But those are you know, you're giving us some good lessons, some good word. And I imagine, I think, you know, I remember you and I talking, I think, and you were sharing, you know, how to become a voice actor and things that you have to do. And I think I remember you saying something like a lot of times that people will try to get you to, you know, pay all this money to get all this coaching and different things like that. And I can even, you know, even in my experience as a speaker, it's like, people would tell me like, hey, man, you know, you have a powerful message, you have a powerful voice, but if you purchase this $5,000 coaching thing, you know what I mean? So it's like, they're trying to, but we often forget about what you brought up, the whole idea of practicing. And I know Malcolm Gladwell, you know, he talked about, you know, it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert. So it's like the repetition, practice. Even, you know, even thinking in terms of like athletics, you think about somebody like Steph Curry, who could shoot a 3-pointer and then turn around and look the other way. You know what I mean? It's like, but the thousands of shots he's putting up, the practice becomes muscle memory. And so he knows what to do and he can just turn around and he knows that thing is going in. So it's like, man, we have to get in the lab, but we have to practice whatever that is. If it's as a speaker, as a, you know, like myself and as a spoken word artist, it's like, you have to write. You have to practice on, you know, how you communicate these things, because how you communicate is just as important as what you communicate. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's good. But I imagine like you probably wouldn't say it, but like, you know, they probably heard your voice somewhere.
They may have, who knows? Voiceover is one of those things where you're not really thinking about it. And if you are, the voiceover is probably not good. It needs to set a mood. Mm-hmm. Your voice should be like John the Baptist to Jesus. I saw in Bear Record that, you know, like your voice is supposed to be pointing to the product, not bringing glory to your own voice. It ought to be doing that. And that's good. And that's part of it. Yeah.
Now, I imagine you probably, you know, see people, they doing big things, they got these Nike, you know, commercials, and you know, just these big, like the top brands that you would want as a voice actor. You probably see them, and you know, maybe or maybe not, you know, it may, you know, cause some discouragement, like, man, you know, how can I get there? I want to get there. How do you keep yourself from falling into like the comparison trap? In other words, how do you stay focused on your race?
Well, you know, to me, I see other voice actors as coworkers, right? You know, and it's like we're competing against each other, but also I don't really care what they think. I'm happy for them if they get it. Yes, and a lot of times I'm the guy that gets it and someone else is disappointed. So, you know, it all shakes out. Mm-hmm. If you're in, baseball, I mean, if you have a long career and you are successful 30% of the time, you'll probably be in the Hall of Fame at batting anyway. Yes, and that's kind of the way it is with voiceover. If you're anywhere near 30% of your auditions you get cast for, anybody, you're doing real good.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's very much a matter of just fire and forget. Do it and forget about it. Mm. If they call you back, do your call back. But don't sit there and like, oh, I did one audition, I wonder if I'll hear back. You might never hear back, and don't worry about it. If they want you, they'll call you back. So don't focus on anything. Just go. You know.
Yeah.
Keep going forward. Keep front running. Don't worry about the guys left and right and behind. Yes, just go.
That's good, man. That's good. That's a good word. I was listening to a podcast, Kevin Hart, and he was talking to a comedian, Hasan Minhaj. And Kevin Hart had mentioned, he was like, man, you know, anytime a comedian gets a gig, that's success. because he was talking about how challenging it is, sort of like that 30%. It's like he know how challenging it could be just to get one gig. So anytime somebody step in front of that mic and they have a platform, that's a win.
Yeah.
You know, that's success. And as you mentioned, like, even if it's, you know, these one-off things, it's like, man, that's a win. Yep. You know what I mean? Don't focus on what other people are doing. Support them, as you mentioned, because they're coworkers. Like, their success doesn't mean you're a failure. You know what I mean? Exactly. And so it's like, but just keep, you know, keep your eyes focused, keep practicing, keep, you know, doing reps. So that you could get better, that you could grow, and don't despise small beginnings.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord, if you let the Lord lead and guide you, you know, I've been on, you know, national TV on both sides of the Atlantic, you know, in the last couple of years, awesome. On the like BBC and NBC and a bunch of other ones. And it's like the Lord hooked every one of those up for me and use it to provide for my family. And I'm very thankful. And I really think anybody can do what I do. I don't think I have a special voice or I'm like a special snowflake that's super. No, I think anybody that puts in the work that I've put in and looks to the Lord, I think you're going to meet with great success.
Man, that's powerful. Now, in this next sort of segment, you know, in the 800 is my favorite race, to watch. But there's a point. So like in the 800, when you start, everybody stay in their lane. Like everybody starts in their lane for about 100 meters. And then when you get sort of, you know, once you get to that 100 meter mark, that first, you know, 100 meter mark, then everybody just kind of merges in. And so there's a moment in that race where you have to kind of step out of your lane. And the idea is, it's like when you merging over, you trying to position yourself to be successful throughout the race. So there's some uncomfortable moments that happen when you're merging into that lane. So there's jostling, you know, people, you might get hit with an elbow or whatever the case is, but you have to get out of your comfort zone. So talk about that moment you chose to kind of step out of your comfort zone to become the person you are today.
Well, specifically with regard to, you know, my job, voice acting,
yes, sir.
It was, you know, one, I didn't just quit my job one day and decide, you know, I'm going to buy a microphone and start doing it. Wasn't like that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I had got a microphone 3 years before and I'd been working, you know, I'd been doing stuff and practicing and had a lot of practice reps. So by the time I was ready to go, I was prepared. I was prepared for my race.
Yes, sir.
That, you know, I was, so it was scary, but also it wasn't foolhardy. You know, I felt like the Lord gave me wisdom on that. And I think if you're looking to him, you know, you'll kind of know when, okay, let's jump out of this plane and, well, we got a parachute on, we'll get safely to where we're trying to go. I think the day that I put in my notice, that was kind of like, this is it. We're about to jump out of this little nest, try to fly.
Yes, sir.
And so, it was exciting. And no, I have no regrets. That was almost 4 years ago, going, you know, full-time business for myself. And like I said, I could end up back, you know, somewhere, some way in a 9-to-5 or some other thing, if the Lord wants me to. But for now, this is where he has me, and I'm very thankful.
Man, praise God, man. And that should be encouragement for us all in recognizing there are moments in our journey where we have to get out of our comfort zone. And, you know, we have to, as the saying goes, get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because there's growth in being uncomfortable, for sure.
And I think you need a friend. Sorry, one more thing.
Yes, sir.
I think you need a friend. I think it's good to pray for a friend, whether it's your spouse or a close sort of a person you're in fellowship with. Like Jonathan's armor bearer wanted to fight God's enemies, the Philistines. Everyone else was kind of scared. He and his armor bearer went and picked a fight with a larger force and beat him. Well, on the way, his armor bearer, Jonathan says, like, hey, you think we ought to go pick a fight with like this basically platoon size element over here and just two of us? And his armor bearer, rather than saying, oh, no, that's we're outnumbered 10 to 1. He said, go do all that is in thine heart. I'm with thee. That's what kind of friends you want.
Yes.
You want to go like, hey, take on these 10 to 1 odds? Yeah, I'll go with you. Come on.
Wow. let's go.
Right. That's what my wife was for me. And I think we all need that.
We do, man. Even out, you know, in a lot of ways, like even for the married folks, it's like even outside of your spouse, you know.
Exactly. It's always good to have a close, some folks that just say, yeah, do it. You got this.
That's powerful. That's a powerful word. Now, I know, you know, we're kind of wrapping up. And sort of this last segment, I like to call rapid fire questions. And so it's just some things that I kind of throw and you just kind of share what's on your heart. And then we'll go from there. So when challenges arise in your life, who or where do you look to sustain you and help you get through?
I look to the Lord and specifically through Bible reading and prayer. The Lord. I don't know what to do here. I need your wisdom. And the Bible says the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. If I've got his word and I'm listening to his voice by reading and in meditation of his word and prayer, talking to him, I'm confident that he'll lead me through it in a wise way.
Amen. Now, do you have a favorite Bible verse, like a life verse? That
my favorite verse is the one that I sort of latched onto the night I got saved. My dad led me to the Lord at 12 years old, and it's John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's kind of like the checklist of things that happen when a person comes to knowledge of their sinful nature and the great savior that the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I love that verse. That's I think I encourage everyone to get that straight, and then you'll have the Spirit of God work in you, working for you, and you'll be able to do anything.
Amen. Who can be against you, right? Yeah. Now, what are two or three things you appreciate about yourself?
Well, I appreciate that I genuinely like everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, you can give me a reason. If we hang out and you give me reasons to not like you, then maybe I will. But I genuinely like everybody. And I think I know it's because that I genuinely see people as somebody that Jesus Christ died for their sins on the cross, just like he did me. So I'm not better than them. And they're a fellow human in this life that can receive God's gift of salvation just like I did, and I want him to. And so I see everyone as myself, like a brother or sister. They're just a human that God loves and wants to be in fellowship with.
I think that's important.
That, I would say that. What's that?
I said, I think that's important. When you think about just seeing people as an image bearer.
Right.
And that
helps, and not you know, like trying to, it just, I think it comes naturally when you view people as the Lord views them. But man, that'll help you get your license plate. That'll help you sometimes get out of a ticket. when you're just like nice, you know, to people, it just, I don't know. It brings out the best in people a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time. And then, you know, let's see, I would say I realize that I'm not a brilliant mind. Like I really think I'm average intelligence. I'm not an idiot, but I'm not a genius. I'm just kind of an average intelligence, and that motivates me to work really hard. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, well, this guy's super smart. He may not have to work as hard. So I have to, if I want to be anywhere near him, I'm going to have to like kill it. So it motivates me to work hard.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, what are you most passionate about?
Well, I would say the Lord. I think when you're sitting on death row and you get a pardon from somebody that takes your place, you're going to think highly of them, and you're going to think about them a lot, and you're going to tell other folks about what this person did for you. And, you know, that's what the Lord did for me. He took my place, and I like to tell people about that, because that has changed everything in my life. Literally.
Everything.
It changes what I think about, what I spend my money on, how I plan, how I treat others. I mean, that Christ died for our sins. So I'm very, very passionate about that.
And you want to tell everybody?
Oh, I'd love to.
Yes, sir.
I'd love to tell everybody.
Now, what do you want to be known for?
John, in the book of John chapter 1, said, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. I want to be known as a guy that was pointing people to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, like, even from lost people, like, well, you know, I don't do all that religion stuff. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in God. But Jacob really believed that. He really did. You know what I mean? I want to be remembered as someone that believed that book and believed that Christ died for his sins and was trying to tell everybody he could about him. Even if they don't believe it, I would like to be remembered as that. And maybe at some point that they will.
Yes, sir. That's good, man. Now, I know you kind of hit on this, but how important are friendships and being in community to you?
Very important. I think it's good to have people of conviction around you. You know, in my case, I like to have men like yourself around me. So I have my wife, you know, that's my female energy as far as like, that's when I want a lady's perspective on something, I ask my wife, hey, what do you think about this thing?
Yes,
ask my mom. I ask other women I respect and things like that. I think it's good to have, in my case, men around me that know the Lord, see people as the Lord sees them. They read the Bible. They're in communication with God, and I value their opinion. Like, I value your opinion on buying a car more than I would this other guy that doesn't know the Lord. You know what I mean? Because you're going to have some wisdom there, and I know that. Yeah. And also, I know what you're going to say.
What's that?
not going to $50,000 of debt for it.
Yes. No debt, brother. No debt.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Yes, I think Lone Ranger, you know, even he had Tonto. You know what I mean? Like, everybody needs a good friend. Everybody needs good friends. I don't think you can do it by yourself.
Yeah.
You can't be what God wants you to be all by yourself. I think you need fellowship.
Yes, sir. Because there's encouragement, you know, in community, friendships. There's accountability and you know, friendships and community. And, you know, just being around, you know, what the Bible says, you know, bear one another's burdens, pray for one another. Man, like, we're created to be in community.
Yep.
And so I think that, I agree. It's very important. Now, what is bringing you joy right now?
The Lord, my family, and where he has me. You know, every day is exciting, and some days are more stressful than others, but I just, I love my life. I wouldn't trade it for anybody, and there's nothing, like Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm right there. I feel like I'm walking with the Lord, and he has given me everything that I need. I don't need anything.
I'm hearing contentment. So it's like
being
content. Where in recognizing that God has me exactly where he wants me, and he has provided exactly what he wants me to have.
Right.
And so just being content with that, for sure. That's good. Now, what's the best compliment you've ever received? You might have to think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, I get so many. I think I would say one of the greatest compliments. I was in Iraq. I was an executive officer in this troop. I was eating by myself in the chow hall one day. And these, I think, five or six Yazidi interpreters. So that Yazidi religion is, they're not Muslim, but it's like a whole religion. They're not Christians. They came and sat in front of me in the chow hall and said, one of them was the spokesman. Like, all of them were quiet except one of them.
Okay.
Which I suppose was like a cultural thing of theirs. And they said, hey, because I had gone to bat for a couple of them trying to, you know, fight for them and you know, keep them on base and work and that kind of thing to provide for their families. I'd done that like twice. And the guy said, Lieutenant Phillips, you're a good man. We wanted to tell you that. And then they all got up and left.
Wow.
And I was like, they just, I don't know. I was having a hard day, and that meant a lot to me. That these guys have nothing alike. You know, I'm some white kid from the South. They're Yazidi Iraqis from Northern Iraq. We don't worship the same God. You know, there's so many differences. I'm 6'5". Wow. They were all like 5'2". You know, you know, there's so many differences.
Yeah.
But they saw that I saw them as a man. And they saw that I respected them, and I can tell you it's because Jesus Christ died for them, and I know that.
Amen.
They might not, but I do. So I'm going to treat them with respect, even if we're doing business. And they sort of acknowledged that. I think about that from time to time. Man, that was a very special moment for me.
That's awesome, man. Now, what does winning look like, and what does it mean to you?
Well,
we want to run to win. What does that mean, and what does that look like for you?
You know, David told Solomon, keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Mm. I think if you're seeking the Lord, doing his will, asking to be led by him, then I think you can do some pretty great things in this life and into eternity. You know, you love the Lord, you love his word. If you got a wife, you love her, you're faithful to her. Amen. If you've got kids, you love them, you spend time with them, you train them. You don't just let them turn into little monsters that are never told no and little feral, like, you know, woodland creatures. You need to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I think that's what winning looks like to me.
Amen.
And then, you know, all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord can, I think when you're trying to do that, the Lord can kind of bless you as he sees fit.
You know, one of my favorite books of the Bible is Ecclesiastes. You know, as the writer goes throughout, and, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, and, you know, vanity of vanities. And he go through all these things. But then at the end, he said, but the conclusion of this matter, fear God and keep his command.
Amen.
And I just thought, like, man, it's like, so he takes you on this journey. And then at the end of this journey, it's like, man, I've been I've been wealthy. I've been, you know, all these things. But at the end of the day, at the conclusion of the matters, fear God, keep his commands. Like, and I think, yeah, that's powerful, man. Like, talk about winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it all points to him. You know what I mean? It's like, fear him, be obedient to him, man. Walk in his will, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. One of the things that I try to do, because I serve students as the director of student ministry, and I try to encourage them, like, man, your voice is important. Keep sharing. Your voice is important. Why? How can you encourage us as a voice actor to use our voices for good?
Well, I would say find a cause you're passionate about and record some stuff, post it on YouTube or whatever, and you know, have a why, have a message you would like to get out in whatever voice. Your voice might be shaky and you're scared, but say it. You know, tell someone a message that they need to hear. And then, yeah, do it and then do it again and then do it again and improve on it and get better and get a better mic and a better setup and it'll come. But get that message out.
That's awesome.
And I think that's the main thing.
Praise God, man. I appreciate you, man. I really enjoy just this discussion. And I know that the listeners will be edified, you know, because you certainly just share some wisdom and some encouragement. And I think above all, man, you pointed us to the Lord. So I appreciate that. Now, where and how can they find you?
You can email me, jakephillips116@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram or TikTok at jakephillips116. And I've got a YouTube channel called Jake Phillips Voiceover, where I put readings and stuff, and then podcast called The Cultured Bumpkin, where I read, you know, classics and stuff.
Awesome. And I'll include all those things in the show notes. Okay. And so I appreciate you sharing. And man, I blessings to you and your and you know, in your endeavors, and I know the Lord is going to continue to use you, brother.
I appreciate it, brother. It's been good talking to you.
I pray that you were blessed by my discussion with the front runner, my friend, Jacob Phillips. If you ever felt like an underdog or that the odds are against you, be a front runner. Take risk, bet on yourself, run your race, and run to win. Remember, Jesus sets the race before us, and we win when we run with him and for him. This is Front Runner Podcast. Follow the Front Runner Podcast and share with a friend. Also, follow me on Instagram at @TheIsaiahMarshall. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, which can be found in the show notes. And while you are at it, be sure to check out all of my released spoken word poetry projects anywhere you stream music. Thank you for supporting my creative journey. This is the Front Runner Podcast. Until next time, bless you.
But I stay underdog. I take my risks. That's why I beat the odds. Beat the odds. I'm out front running. I run to win. That's why I run with him. No looking back. I leave it on the track.